Please turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We will look at the vast majority of this chapter, but we will read it as we go along. 1 Samuel 17. Have you ever been in a situation where the circumstances seemed overwhelming? Perhaps the problem was so big you didn't know where to start, or those around you did more to discourage than to encourage, and maybe you had to face the trouble alone. And any way you sliced it, you were the underdog. From the human perspective, you did not stand much of a chance. Kind of scary, wasn't it? Well, we all have been in situations like that, but how did they turn out? Were you victorious or did you suffer defeat? Who did you trust to solve the problem? Your own ingenuity or in your Heavenly Father? Where did you find strength to do battle? In the recesses of your being or in the spirit that resides within? Who was there to help you out? Or were you all alone? Or did your friend Jesus stand by your side? Our text deals with the issue of overwhelming odds and isolation from our compatriots. In it, we find the underdog surprising the crowd. We find a young man with a mature faith overcome a giant of a man with small faith. I want to speak to you a very common, prevalent Bible story, David and Goliath. I'm sure you're well versed in it, but we're going to look into the Word of God today. Title the message, David and Goliath. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, you know our needs, and we just cast them before you. We do ask if there's any in our midst today that is lost, the great spiritual need that is there. We ask that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus Christ, and Lord, grant repentance and faith that they might be saved. May we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have, and Lord, help us to cast our care upon you because you care for us. Help us as we study your word, that even though this be a very common story and account, that Lord, we not just take it with lightness. Help us to recognize this is your word, and the story is here for our benefit, that we might have patience and comfort as we learn from these things. And so just guide us today and encourage our hearts and be with especially those who are under great burden today. Help them to look to you. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. We want to think about David and the Goliath. We have a long way to go through this chapter. And so we want to notice, first of all, verse 1 through verse 11, the problem. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now what we want to recognize as we see this problem unfold within our passage is the Philistines, and they've been long-time enemies against the nation of Israel. The Philistines, of course, are set in battle against the Israelites once again. These people have been a constant irritation to the nation of Israel. And if the Israelites would have done what they were supposed to when they entered into the land of promise, they wouldn't have the problems what they're having. But nonetheless, they didn't destroy the inhabitants of the land. The Philistines still remain, and they still on occasion conquer the Israelites and put them into bondage. And so we've read in the passage that war came up, and war is war. You're very familiar with war. It's that which is common among men. Wars happen on a regular basis. But in this war, there's one who was a champion. Now, there's great trouble here, great problem, but there's even a tremendous problem or an overwhelming trouble. This guy is supersized. You know, you go to McDonald's and say, what do you want? You want to supersize it? Well, Goliath was supersized. According to the scripture and the best of our understanding, he was approximately 9.5 feet tall. His upper armor on his chest weighed 180 pounds. His spearhead weighed 21 pounds, and he still had protection on his calves and the shins. And I mean, the guy was carrying more than what we most of us weigh. This guy was just huge. I mean, tremendous, overwhelming, daunting figure of a man. And we saw that what he did is he came out and he taunted the children of Israel and he mocked the enemy there. And he said, listen, let's just settle this. This is simple. I'm a Philistine. You're Israelites. Just pick out anybody you want. Come on and fight against me. Well, from a human perspective, that doesn't seem very fair, does it? I mean, this guy's 9.5 feet tall. He probably weighs 400 or 500 pounds. I mean, this guy is just, he's been a soldier from his youth. The guy is just vicious. And he's out there saying, hey, I'll take any one of you. And that really doesn't seem much like a contest from a human perspective. But what we recognize here is he's using this. He taunts them. He makes fun of them. He makes fun of the soldiers and the nation. And, well, it's just not a very good situation. And really the conditions are very drastic because it's a winner-take-all kind of deal. Verse 9 we saw, hey, if you can fight with me and kill me, we'll surrender. And if you die, then you guys surrender. And we'll just finish this. And from a human perspective, victory just seems very unlikely, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know that I'd be running outside to go contest with a 9-foot fella and a humongous guy like that. Would you? Not likely. Not likely. And so really what we find in verse 11 as we finished our reading there is there's no apparent situation for the children of Israel except for the fact that they can be afraid. And so we read in the text that Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time, and all the soldiers, they heard these words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And who can blame them? Nobody likes war, let alone you got a guy like this. What are you going to do? Well, we have the problem unfolded for us in verse 1 through verse 11. Let's notice verse 12 through verse 23 in providence. God has a particular way of working out events sometimes. We call that the providence of God. And I see providence being described in our passage. Verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. And for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. What we find in the early part of our reading there, the family structure, talks about David's family and his dad and his three oldest sons who's at the battlefront and David being the youngest. Well, of course, the event, of course, is the battle. The Philistines, Goliath, we've already talked about that guy, but now David is being sent to the battlefront. And the reason he's doing this, well, our society provides for the soldiers, at least they're supposed to. Back then, that wasn't the case. The families would provide for their own soldiers, and so they constantly were running up food and clothing and all kinds of things to the battlefront to provide for them. So Jesse got to the place and said, hey, it's time, we need to send some more food up for your brothers and send a little gift to the captain of the thousands there. And so, David, here's what I want you to do. Take all these provisions and go up to the battlefront. And I want you to notice in verse 17 down through verse 22, where we read in that passage, the timing of David's arrival. Now, he could have come long before the battle was engaged or long after the battle was engaged. He could have came in the middle of the night. But he came at the time of day when actually the children of Israel had faced each other against the Philistines. And he happened, just by chance, you know, just to show up when Goliath comes out of the armies of the Philistines to make his great challenge. Was it by accident that he showed up at that time? Absolutely not. I believe it was the providence of God. And so what we have is David showing up just in time, and verse 23 tells us of David's accessibility. He was close enough, he could hear the words of Goliath. And so Goliath had been coming out there, he's been challenging the children of Israel for 40 days. Every day he comes out, and nobody in Israel has enough courage to go out and face this great big humongous fellow. But now David shows up just when this guy comes out and presents the challenge. Mocks the children of Israel and the God of heaven. That's not guesswork, my friend. In the providence of God, David showed up at the right time to hear the challenge. And so that's the providence found down through verse 23. Notice verse 24 through verse 27, the prospect. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up, and it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Very simply, David hears these words and he says, huh, well, this guy ought not be getting away with this. What'll happen to the fellow that has victory over this giant? And so they gave him the information there. Oh, you'll be rich and the king will make your house free. You even get the king's daughter. And so there's great prospect. So David has a concern about the situation and he makes an inquiry. Now, for some of the view that is around him, all the people that he speaks with, it's defeatist. There's no way, you can't do it, nobody can do this, we're scared, we've been scared. But for David, this is an opportunity. Now, I wonder how many times we go through life and we adopt that defeatist attitude and not see the opportunity. Now, really, truly, this is from a human perspective, looks impossible. And David, with the eye of faith, sees it as an opportunity. What shall happen to the person that kills this fellow? Well, that's a great encouragement to you and to me, is it not? Great prospect here, and victory would mean much delight and great reward for the man who's victorious over this giant. So there's prospect. There's something on the horizon. Then verse 28 down through verse 31, notice the purpose. And see how these people react, especially his brothers. And Eliab, his eldest brother, verse 28 says, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Notice that whenever there's issues in life, there are always skeptics, there are always critics. Here's David, he's just making an inquiry. What'll happen to the guy? And older brother Eliab, he says, Well, wait a minute here, I know you. Makes fun of him. What'd you do with those few sheep of yours? And why are you here? You just want to stick your nose where it doesn't belong. And so we have those skeptics, we have those critics. There are always those who will disdain and those who will discourage. As we go through life, they will be about us. Negative perspective, negative purpose. But I like what David says in verse 29, that statement, and I tried to emphasize it when I was reading it. When his brother was chastising him, verse 29, David said, What have I now done? I haven't done anything wrong. All I did is ask a question. But he says, Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This is a purpose. David knew that there was a reason. Purpose and providence did not escape David's attention. And so he was aware of his circumstances. And he says, There's a reason. There's a cause. And so David could see it. Nobody else could. So then we read in verse 31 as we finished up our reading that providentially word reaches Saul, who is the king, and he finds out about David and sends for him. Well, let's pick it up in verse 32 and we'll go down through verse 37 and notice the practice. Did David, is he just doing this off the cuff or what? Well, verse 32, And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And what we recognize is Saul right off says, Now wait a minute, you can't do it. You're just a kid. This guy's been a soldier ever since he's been a kid. He's big, he's vicious, he's seasoned, he's a veteran, this guy is ruthless. You cannot go against him. But David replies and says, Listen, I may not be a soldier, but I've confronted danger before. And so he lists the events there as a shepherd, and he protects his sheep, and he loves his sheep. And there came a lion one time and took a lamb, and he went and delivered it. And a bear came out and took another lamb. He came out and delivered it. David was not a stranger to the danger. I mean, I'd be more likely to confront Goliath than I would a lion or a bear. And David just says, Listen, I fought against these things before. I'm not afraid. And we noticed in verse 36 that these earlier successes had encouraged him. I slew the lion, I slew the bear, and this guy is going to be just like one of them. You see, David had success before, and he leaned upon that success. He saw what God could do. And I'll tell you, my friend, as you face life, you have to depend upon what God has already done in your life. You look back, that's a track record. And you can say, Well, God did this, and God did that, and God delivered me here, and God delivered me there. You need to see what God can do. And so we must be faithful in our service and obedience unto Him and recognize, we put that in the back of our minds, this is what God has done. And I cannot forget this. You're going to need it because, you know why? The Philistines will keep coming up. And they're going to have their champions. And in this case, we have Goliath of Gath. And David says, you know, he's a big fella, but I fought a lion and I fought a bear. Now, the great thing is, in verse 37, not only did he have the success in the past that encouraged him, but we really do see, more importantly, the fact that he trusted God for victory. And verse 37 made it very clear. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. David wasn't taking credit. He wasn't saying, boy, I'm really nimble and I'm just wise and I could take the bear and I could take a lion. I can take this guy. Look at me. I'm somebody good. No. David said, God is the one that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. God is the one that delivered me out of the paw of the bear. God is the one that will deliver me out of this guy's hand. You see, as he approached his life and this massive problem that stood before him, he believed in God for the victory. And I'll tell you, our life is filled with problems and trials and tribulations. And we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we who have eternal life and God's Spirit in our hearts, we have to believe God for the victory. And that's what David did. Now, we want to look at the last portion of our passage, and it's verse 38 down through verse 54, and the title is The Product. Here, we come through and we see these items that I mentioned unto you, and we just notice the practice that he had. The last point is the product, and I'm going to spend the remainder of our time in this passage, and I have some sub-points that we're going to look at. And so the product runs from verse 38 down through verse 54. It's not the entire chapter, but we've read just about all of it. And I trust it's been helpful for you to gather a picture of the events of what's going on. So you where you're at now. And David's standing before Saul. And Saul saying, you can't do it. And David says, I can. And God will do it for me. And what faith he had. Well, what's the product of all this? The first thing I bring to your attention, and there are five things, as we run down through verse 54. Number one, familiarity. Familiarity. Notice what happens. And Saul, verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. All we find here is that King Saul said, you can't go like that. You're just a shepherd boy. You just came to the battlefront. You have no defenses. You don't have any weapons. And so here, take my armor, take my shield, take my helmet, take my sword. You take all this stuff. This is what soldiers do. And David said, I can't go with this stuff. I've never used these kind of things. I'm not used to these kind of things. And all that's going to do is hinder me. And so what David says, I don't want any of this stuff, took it off and said, nah, I can't do it. I can't go like this. I'm not going to depend upon this stuff to give me victory. But what he did depend upon was what God had already done in his life and who he was. And so what did David do? He was a shepherd. So he took the shepherd's staff that he had in his hand. He went down to the brook and he chose five smooth stones. Now David was very adept with the sling and a stone. That was one of the methods of artillery at that time. And the children of Israel all learned how to use a sling and a stone. And David did too. And that's what David used on many, many occasions as he defended the flocks there in the field. He went down and he chose five smooth stones and put it into his pouch. And does he have a helmet on? No. Does he have a breastplate on? No. Has he got the sword and the spear? He doesn't have any of that. All he has is the sling and the five stones. Now, someone made comment the reason that he picked five stones wasn't the fact that he might miss one, was that Goliath had four other brothers. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but he did go down and he picked up five stones, put them in his pouch. I have a suspicion it's just in case he misses, he can always sling a second one because you never know. And so he has these five stones, and he went with that which he knew. You see, he already had experience with God, and he depended upon that experience. So familiarity in verse 38 through verse 40. Then what we find in verse 41 through verse 44 is face to face. Face to face. And the Philistine, verse 41, came on and drew near unto David, and the man went that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now I would suspect that David was an ordinary Jewish young man of a common size, probably somewhere around 5'6" or so. And here he goes, he says, I can't go to battle with this. He gets his stones and he heads out to the battlefield. Goliath's down there in the valley making fun of the children of Israel and the God of Israel and challenging them. And David appears upon the edge of the plain. And what he does, I said that these verses tell us about being face to face. David, he didn't have an M50 where he could shoot the guy from off the top of the hill. He had a sling and some stones. That's fairly close combat. It's not as close as a dagger or a sword. But you can't be 600 yards and sling a stone and hit it. You got to be somewhat close. And what does David do? He goes down and confronts the enemy. Now listen, my friend, I would encourage you. I know it's not easy. I know we don't like to do it. But the truth is we have to confront our problems head on. It does no good to see Goliath down in the valley making this great challenge and we're skirting around on the outside. You have to confront the thing. And so if you have these problems in your life, burying your head in the sand and acting like it isn't there is not going to resolve anything. You have to confront it. You have to go head on. You have to deal with the issue. And that's what David does. Now, comparatively, you might feel inept. Well, who could blame him? I mean, Goliath, that great big 9.5-foot guy, looks around and sees this little dinky David standing over there. And he says, Who in the world are you? What, have you come out with me with staves? What do you think you're doing? And so, yeah, in comparison, David's very small to this great big massive fellow. And those problems may dwarf you and they seem to mock you. And that's exactly what Goliath did. Made fun of him. Come on to me and I'll just feed your body to the birds of the air. You're a dead duck for sure. And Goliath just said he was overconfident, wasn't he? And here's David comes down and he's coming to the Philistine. I mean, it's face to face. And certainly history has demonstrated that danger is near. And when you go to battle, there's danger. There's risk. You can be injured. You can be killed. It can happen. David is in great danger, is he not? If a Goliath can get anywhere near him, David's gone. He can throw that great big spear, that big head, 21 pounds. That's a heavy spearhead. And he could chuck that if he hits David. David's gone. But David comes and faces him face to face. And so the product of all these things comes down to the fact of David says, I can't go with that I haven't proved. I'm going to go with what I know. And I'm going to come face to face. And notice, as we've already indicated in our earlier reading, verse 45 through verse 47, faith. Faith. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle was the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Boy, that's great faith, isn't it? We already have seen where he said, God who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver this guy unto me. And so here's this great big fellow making fun of him. And, oh, you come, you're going to be bird food. And David just turns it around on him. Yeah, you're big, and you have the shields, and you have the swords, and you have the weapons and all that, but you know what? I have God. And I come to you in the name of God. And you think you're going to feed my flesh, I want to feed your flesh to the animals and to the beasts of the earth. And, well, what I like is David says, I'm going to kill you and take your head off of you. What did David have to take his head off with? He's empty-handed. He has five stones in a sling. And he said, I'm going to take your head off. What faith it is. What great faith. And what did David do? And I encourage you, three things. Number one, I encourage you to approach your problems in the name of God. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And I would encourage you to go before your problems in the name of God. And recognize that God is still upon His throne. God's not worried. God's not upset. He's not up there wringing His hands saying, boy, I really would like to help Him, but my hands are tied. That's not God at all. God is the sovereign God of the universe. And we need to approach our problems in the name of God. This is for God's name, for His honor, for His glory, and whatever He will do. That leads me to the second thing. And I encourage you to believe that God will fight for you. Do you believe that God will defend His own? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? The Scripture says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Do you believe that? We must believe that God will fight for us, and that victory is at hand. Now, that's not to say that everybody in the Bible had victory. Some people suffered great defeat, and they were trusting in God. You can read the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that great hall of faith. Yeah, God delivered so many of those people because of their faith. But then at the end of that chapter, it says, and some were not delivered. Some were killed. Some were wandering about destitute in the wilderness and in the dens and the caves of the earth. And you say, well, they didn't get a very fair shake. Oh, but they lived for faith and loved God through faith. And even though they didn't get the result they were looking for, they still were faithful and obedient to God. And God's always glorified when that happens. Now, we know the end of this story. You're already aware of how this turns out. But I encourage you, my friend, that as you go into your battles and you approach the problems of your life, you do so in the name of God. And you believe that God will fight for you, that God can give you the victory. And then I believe that what you ought to do in the third point is this. You ought to confront the enemy for the glory of God. I like David's approach here. You've made fun of our God. You think our God is nothing. But he says, I come to you that all the world may know that God is God. That this assembly, all these soldiers will know that the battle is God's and not yours. And I'll tell you, my friend, when we approach our life that way, when we approach our problems that way, recognizing, God, we want you to work so that all the world will know that you're God. And God can do marvelous things. And He'll do what He wants in order to glorify His name. Well, that's David. He comes out, confronts Goliath, and Goliath belittles him. He belittles Goliath and said, God's going to take care of you. But has anything been resolved? Do we not still see Goliath of Gath and David, the son of Jesse? Oh, you say, well, they've come a great way. They're out there facing each other, but it's not resolved yet, is it? That leads us to the next few verses, and that's the fight. Verse 48 through verse 50. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. You say, do you believe this account happened? Yes, I do. I believe this is a literal account. I believe there was a man, humongous fellow by the name of Goliath. He had four brothers, by the way, that were just as big. And here's David, a shepherd. But a man who loved God, was faithful to God, and had proven God time and again. And he goes out against this great big fella, and as he's running to meet the enemy, he takes that stone out, puts it in the sling, and whack, hits the guy right in the forehead. We had armor all over the place, and David took a headshot. Got him right in the forehead. Stone sinks into his forehead. Of course, Goliath falls over. But now we got a problem. David doesn't have a sword. He promised to take off his head. What's he going to do about that? What I want to say before we look at those last few verses is, you have to fight. I mean, you just have to do it. And so engage in the battle when you have to engage upon it. Well, look at the finish. Verse 51 through verse 54. He didn't have a sword, so verse 51 says, "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead," did they keep their word and submit it to the children of Israel and became their slaves? No, what they do, they ran. They fled. "And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaharim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." What do you find? He finished the battle. It wasn't over yet. Yeah, there's the Philistine. He has a rock in his forehead, but it's not finished. David knew he had to finish this, and he had to finish it today. He didn't have any recourse. So then he says, "Oh, well, he's got a sword." He goes over there, draws the sword out of Goliath's sheath, takes it, kills him, cuts off his head. And so great victory was proven. I encourage you, my friend, don't stop short of total victory. Sometimes we can just go part way. And you need to go all the way. You need to be victorious in the name of God. So you knocked over Goliath, but keep on going. Get the sword out of his sheath and cut off his head. You know that's figurative, I trust. I'm not encouraging you to do that in our society. But don't stop short of victory. But then also notice before I draw a conclusion, and that is your success will encourage others. Remember the children of Israel? All the soldiers were scared. They've been scared for 40 days. They're not about to say anything. There's no peep out of them. They're not taking a step toward the Philistines. When the Goliath drops over and the earth shakes, and they cut off his head and David holds that head up, what happens to all the soldiers behind him? Great shouts of victory. And now they're saying, "Woo, let's go to the battle." And off they go. Now one guy is gone. They're going to go fight. And we see the success of their victory there. And so, really, the point of that is your success will encourage others. You serve God, you be faithful to God, and your successes will be encouragement to other people to fight their battles. Now, let me offer you a few ponderings in closing, and I'll just mention these briefly. Number one, this is not a fable. This is not just a story. I believe this is a literal account. It happened. Great big guy, little fella. And in the name of God, the little fella has victory. Secondly, I believe that this is an encouragement to the underdog. I encourage you. You look at your battles and you look at the warfare of your life, and it seems like they're just overwhelming, doesn't it? You seem to be the underdog. But there's encouragement to the underdog. I was born 6 weeks premature most of my life. I was very small and emaciated. I looked like somebody out of a refugee camp. I was skinny. I was frail. I never got this big until I got into college. And I've gotten bigger ever since. But when I was young, that wasn't the case. And I always ended up on the short end about most of the time. And that taught me I just about always go for the underdog. If they say that can't be, I wanted Northern Kentucky to beat UK. Despite my wife. Why? Because they made fun of Northern Kentucky. The commentators making fun of them. I thought, boy, I hope they beat them. Just because I root for the underdog. I really do. That's just in me because of my experiences. This ought to be an encouragement to the underdog. And we're underdogs most of the time. Number three, God's successes are not dependent upon human ability. It wasn't the sword, it wasn't the spear, and by the way, it wasn't David's stone. It was God. It was God. God is the one that gave the victory. Our successes depend upon Him. But I do mention in closing that God will, however, utilize faith. In that great hall of faith over in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 32, as He's mentioning some people, He doesn't have time to write about them. He says, "Of David also." Did David have faith? Yeah, we demonstrated it and read it in the text. My friend, we see David and Goliath. God gave great victory. May you find great encouragement by that. May you find strength. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. Bless our hearts. May we find encouragement by it. And help us, O God, to serve you and to be found faithful and true all the days of our life. We pray for those in our midst that are lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ and be saved today. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. 345 is the